Time to talk some baseball as we're joined on the G&M Family Market by our friend Evan Davis of the Hardball Times and Fan Rag Sports. Evan, good afternoon.
Hi, Rich.
Here we are, ready to start another baseball season. Yes. Are you excited?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's the first time in a really long time where we're actually going to have a real classic traditional opening day on Thursday with everybody playing together at the same time. So that is not the culture that I grew up with. I know you're a little bit older than me, so you might remember differently, but it's always fun and exciting when we get a real solid, proper occasion for everyone to kick their season off together in the right way.
Yeah, I'm so old. I remember when President Taft would show up to throw out the first pitch.
Yes. Yeah, didn't have much of a fastball on him, if I recall.
No, but he was crafty. Yeah, he knew his way around the strike zone there.
That's right. Good jump ball.
Well, let's talk. Let's start with the American League, and I just want to get your thoughts on who you think is going to win these division titles in the wild card. So let's start for us here in Maine, right at the top of the American League East in the battle of superpowers with the Red Sox and Yankees.
It's the one division in baseball that actually is going to be competitive for the top slot. We're in an age right now, and we have been, I think, probably for the last two or three years of an era of super teams, where a lot of clubs have been concentrating their talent at the top and are positioning themselves to be long-term successes. And I think we see that with Cleveland in the Central, we see that with Houston in the West, and we see that with Washington in the Cubs and the Dodgers out in the National League. It's a little bit different in the East. The Yankees obviously kickstarted their rebuild a year and a half ago, and now basically erased all memory of the fact that they even had a rebuild and are primed to be one of the greatest power-hitting lineups I think we've ever seen with Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and Greg Bird when he's back healthy and Gary Sanchez. So that's going to be terrifying, and I think the Red Sox are right there with them. It's very difficult to say which team has the edge here. I think the Yankees might beat them out by a game or two, but they're very evenly matched. I think the Red Sox, y'all, we've talked about this before, Rich, a lot of their young position players all kind of took a step back at the same time last season, and I don't think that's going to sustain. I think they're going to get better. They brought in J.D. Martinez, who's going to add a ton of power to the lineup. And if David Price can keep going the way that he's been going during spring training, it's a great pitching staff. And then again, the Yankees pitching staff is also great with Masahiro Tanaka, Sonny Gray, and Luis Severino leading the line. And let's not even start talking about the bullpens. So they're going to be slugging it out. I think we have not really seen a classic true blue Yankees-Red Sox rivalry in a while. And I think that these 19 regular season games, potentially a playoff series, are going to be a ton of fun. And you're going to bring back a lot of fun, feisty memories of rivalries past.
In the Central, you mentioned Cleveland as one of those super teams. Who's got the best shot or any shot at giving them a little bit of competition in that division?
Oh, it's the Twins. It's certainly the Twins. I think that the AL Central and the NL East are probably the two worst divisions in the sport at the moment. I mean, the Royals, the White Sox, and the Tigers are just painfully bad. The Tigers are pretty much finished selling off every spare part that they have. The Royals and their general manager, Dayton Moore, didn't bother to try and trade any of their big core members at the trade deadline last July, and so they all walked. Now, they did get Mike Moustakas back on a one-year deal, but man, their pitching is barren. Their bullpen is barren. Everything is just looking so tough for the Royals right now. And then the White Sox, you know, they might win, and I think a lot of people are saying maybe 65, 66 games. I could see 72, 73 wins, especially if, you know, Lucas Giolito and Yoan Moncada come up and perform the way that I think everyone expects them to based on their prospect pedigree. But none of these teams are very good. Whereas the Twins actually surprised everyone last year, played pretty well down the stretch, got that second wild card spot. And most of those guys are back this year, and they reloaded. I mean, their bullpen looks pretty solid. The signing of Lance Lynn and the trade for Jake Odorizzi really kind of like settles the back end of their rotation with Jose Berrios at the top of it. And We know that Miguel Sano is not going to be missing any time from the sexual assault allegations that were made against him. And, you know, Joe Mauer is still there. You know, they've got a lot of interesting pieces. Of course, Brian Dozier. So, and Byron Buxton, I mean, we say it every season, but Byron Buxton seems like he's just right on the cusp of becoming a really solid hitter to complement his defense and his base running. So the pieces are there for them to potentially be the second wild card favorite. I mean, it's kind of between them and the Angels right now. But Cleveland is just head and shoulders above the rest. I mean, that pitching staff is outstanding. The bullpen, you know, you just every piece of Cleveland, barring maybe some questions in the corner outfield spots, just looks like they're primed for another monster year.
Is it possible this Houston Astros team is even better than they were last year?
Might be. I mean, every good young player that they have is a year older and not on the wrong side of 27. I think these guys are just mashers, and they don't have a lot of competition in the AL West. So, you know, I just don't see what's standing in their way, to be perfectly honest. And especially now that they're going to have Justin Verlander for an entire season, they traded for Garrett Cole, and they have a lot of interesting potential to start doing some tandem starts with Charlie Morton and maybe Brad Peacock and Lance McCullers. And, you know, there's just so much opportunity and creativity that could be in place for what Houston can do. I don't really see anyone touching them. I think the Yankees and Cleveland will be interesting, but yeah, Houston's just head and shoulders above the rest.
We're talking baseball with Evan Davis here on Downtown. Let's go to the National League East. Can anybody touch the Nationals?
I think somebody can touch them. They're an excellent team, too. There's no reason to think that Max Scherzer is going to regress, but he is a year older. You know, he's creeping into his 30s. He's still probably one of the two or three best starting pitchers in baseball. But, you know, some cracks could show, and I think that, you know, they've got Harper and they've got Anthony Rendon, and Victor Robles is kind of ready to come up at some point and show them something. So, yeah, they don't have a lot of holes. I just don't know how much firepower they can really demonstrate when you compare them to maybe other teams throughout the rest of the league. The Phillies got better. They're not going to be playoff contenders, but they got better. I think the Braves might surprise some people. I mean, I know I just said the NL East is probably the worst division in the National League, but I think that the scrubs of the NL East, barring the Marlins, maybe could give the Nationals more of a challenge than maybe the scrubs in the Central can with Cleveland.
Pretty good competition among the upper crust there in the Central Division. Are the Cubs still the team to beat?
Oh, 100%. The Cardinals have reloaded. And to their credit, you know, they got Marcelo Zuna. Their pitching looks a little bit more well-rounded. You know, the Brewers, I wish they had signed another starting pitcher, maybe even two, to complement the moves that they made to bolster their outfield. They're going to be good. But, I mean, the Cubs, again, kind of like Washington, kind of like Houston, they just don't really have a lot of holes. I think maybe the one place where you get a little bit nervous about the north side of Chicago is, what is their bullpen depth going to look like? You know, they got Brandon Morrow, they got a couple other pieces, but, you know, they don't necessarily have the same kind of depth that maybe other teams do in the back end of the pitching staff. So maybe a couple of people can go after them, but I just don't think that the Cardinals or the Brewers have enough to really make a legitimate push against Chicago.
And out west, Dodgers, the class of the field there?
Oh, yeah, and especially with the terrible news that Madison Bumgarner's missing a couple of months with an injury. Jeff Samardzija is going to miss the start of the season. When that happens, all of a sudden San Francisco's pitching just looks completely depleted. The Giants really wanted to try and stay under the luxury tax threshold, and they just barely were able to do so, except that if they try to reload at any point throughout the season, or if they add some call-ups maybe their budget wasn't anticipating, they're going to go over that line. And their lineup is incredibly old. It's one of the oldest in baseball. And you just don't see that even with Andrew McCutchen and Evan Longoria, that solves all of their problems. The Diamondbacks, I'm kind of favoring them to be the second wild card. You know, that pitching rotation is outstanding. They're locking all their baseballs in a humidor this season, so that might help even more. And it's a good lineup. Goldschmidt at the top of it, Jake Lamb, AJ Pollock. Like, they're a really good all around squad. And so I think that even though there's, again, no weaknesses that the Dodgers have, the Diamondbacks might give them a little bit of push, but I think it's the Dodgers' division to lose.
Before we let you go, Evan, is there one player, a young guy, new face, who's somebody you're really excited to see out there on a regular full-time basis this season?
Oh, it's obviously Ronald Acuna, the left fielder for the Atlanta Braves, and anyone who says otherwise is just kidding themselves. This guy is universally considered the best prospect in baseball, non-Shohei Ohtani division, and absolutely destroyed pitching in spring training. It's another Chris Bryant in 2015 situation where the Braves are very blatantly keeping him down in AAA at the beginning of the season to manipulate his service time and get an extra year of team control about under him, even though there's absolutely no reason why he needs any type of development or seasoning at the AAA level. I mean, the guy embarrassed pitchers at three or four different minor league levels throughout last year, and he isn't even legally allowed to drink in the United States. So... And guess what? The Braves have a hole in left field. Now, granted, they're not going to be competing, and the Cubs were 3 years ago when their controversy with Bryant was kicking around. So maybe it's less offensive the way that Alex Anthopoulos and the Braves front office are handling this situation. But even so, I think the NL Rookie of the Year award is Acuna's to lose. And I think Braves fans and baseball fans in general will be disappointed in missing all the special things that he can do for those first couple of weeks. But on April 13th, once that service time locks in and he's a Brave for 7 years, you're going to see some fireworks out in SunTrust Park, no doubt about it.
There we go. Getting ready for the season. Can't wait till Thursday, and we can't wait to talk with you again and throughout the course of the baseball season. Evan Davis, as always, thanks for being with us.
Thanks. Always a pleasure, Rich.
It's 4:30 here on Downtown.